Like you turn to Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10, the thought about the whole armor of God passage. I was telling Brother Frank this morning that this morning at Cherry Street, Brother Robert Garrett's going to be this morning at Cherry Street preaching. And I was telling him that I went through some old warden works yesterday and found this entry. This came out of the February 1930 warden work. A missionary meeting was held at Eastview Church of Christ near Louisville on Sunday, January the 26th, 1930 at 3 p.m. in honor of Brother and Sister Garrett of the Ormsby Avenue congregation who are soon to sail for Africa. That'd be Robert's parents. So that's 86 years ago that his parents went to Africa to be missionaries. And so we want to keep continuing praying for that work that he's doing in Zimbabwe even today. I think he's leaving on the 7th of next month to go back to Zimbabwe for about 4 months to share the word of God. Also pray for Sister Gary. She can't go with him, so pray for her while she's here in the States. We know that many people think sometimes that war is very glamorous until they themselves become a casualty or know someone in their number who has become a casualty. The same is true in the spiritual arena. We live in a spiritual war zone where our enemy, Satan, is out there using many different tactics to try to get us to fall away from the Lord. We know many times in the Word of God, Paul used military terms in his teaching because people in those days knew what it meant to have military all around them. The Roman Empire had soldiers and legions and armies all over the empire. There were certain provinces that were maybe more peaceful and didn't have to have as many soldiers, perhaps like Philippi. But also there was Israel or Palestine where there were a lot of soldiers. But he's here in Ephesus. We sing a song called Soldiers of Christ Arise. Put the armor on. Paul said we should be a good soldier of Christ. That song that Wesley wrote, put Soldiers of Christ Arise and Put Your Armor On. He talked about also standing in His great might with all strength endued and take to arm you for the fight, the panoply of God. Now we know that we can't fight the battle by ourselves. We know we need the Lord's help, and the Lord has promised to equip us for service. We know the Word of God teaches that we have to want to become a Christian. And also, once we are a Christian, we have to want to stay that. We have to want to grow as Christians. And if we're willing to grow as Christians, we have the Word of God to read. We have prayer. We have fellow believers like here to encourage us in our daily walk for the Lord. We're told not to get involved in civilian pursuits, as the army man was told. One hymn writer writes, more about Jesus would I know, more of His grace to others show, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. So we must strive to be the best soldiers the Lord has. The Roman soldier was given everything that he needed to go into battle. He was probably the most well-trained soldier of all time. They provided him everything he needed to be a good soldier. And here in this passage, Ephesians 6, Paul takes the different things that a Roman soldier would wear on his armor, and he makes spiritual application to us. If the Roman soldier did not take one of his things he's supposed to wear into battle, he might not come back. He might be killed in battle or wounded. And also, if he didn't take his full armor out, maybe the centurion who's in charge of maybe 100 men or his superiors wouldn't take too kindly to that, and he might be punished for that, not being prepared to go into battle. So we are in an ever-present battle, not a battle of seeing things. If we were to see the enemy out in front of us here, we would know he's there. We don't see him physically, but we know he's there spiritually. Most of the Roman armor here in this passage is defensive nature, and some are offensive. So if the Roman soldier needed to be very well equipped, given everything he had, the best training, the best weapons, the best training again, how much more do we need to be well trained in our life to be equipped for the Lord? He starts in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. That is telling us what we need to do. In verse 11, he tells us why we need to do it. But in verse 10, be strong in the Lord. He tells us our battle is not with a sea enemy. Back in history, we read in history about battles, really, I think up to about World War I, the battles, over here's one army, a big field, here's the other army, and they come and battle in this big field, so they see each other. But we know today, it doesn't go that way today. People can fire off missiles and bombs and stuff and be way away. They can be out on a ship out in the ocean and send a missile 400 or 500 miles inland and hit the target with very great marksmanship. But in those days there, they couldn't do that. But today in our battle here, it's a spiritual one. We must realize that we can't do it by ourselves. That's the key thing there. We must have the help of the Holy Spirit to guide us. The Apostle John said, greater is He who is in the world and He who is in the world. Greater is He who is in us. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, and we can go and do the battle because we're on the Lord's side. He says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, which may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He's out there active. He's not on vacation. He's out there trying to keep people from becoming Christians, first of all, and also trying to keep people who are Christians not to serve God faithfully. He's out there working overtime. But we have the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. We remember back in the, not turn there, but back in the Gospels, where after Jesus had been baptized there, He went out into the wilderness to fast, not eat and drink for 40 days, 40 nights. Then the tempter came and tried to tempt Him. And Satan used the Word of God in somewhat. He tends to kind of misquote the Word of God, as many cults today do. But Jesus, every time that Satan said, well, if you're the Son of God, do this. He said, it is written. He used the word, it is written, three times there in those temptations. Verse 12 of the passage in Ephesians 6 tells about the battle. It's not against flesh and blood. But then we have verse 13, take up. That's a more of a word of action. The Roman soldier had been given all these parts of the battle armor, and he's got them in the barracks. It's time to go out to battle, and if he left one back there, he would have not took up the whole armor of the Romans. So we must be a people who take up the whole armor of God. So Paul used the imagery of these different parts of a Roman soldier's armor to illustrate some very important ways that we as Christians can be and should be equipped for service. Be strong in the Lord. In verse 14, it talks about the belt of truth. The Roman soldier's belt served as a foundation for his armor. It held his sword in place, his breastplate. We know that Satan is called the father of all lies. John said, you are of your father the devil. Desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he's a liar and the father of it. So he can't tell the truth. He's a liar, it says. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We have the contrast of the true Savior and one who wants to be a false god, Satan. So the victory in the spiritual warfare starts with truth. We have the Word of God here in our possession, but we need to be a people who let the Word of God speak to us individually. Now the preacher can tell you what it says here, and the teacher, that's very true. We need people that are up here sharing the Word of God, whether a pulpit or a classroom or whatever, but the Word of God must be true to each of us individually. We must find it for ourselves in the Word of God. If you want to hold the passage there in Ephesians, I'm going to read a passage out of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17 about the importance of God's Word. He says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work, there in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. He doesn't say that just the Scriptures we like are inspired of God. It doesn't say just the ones we understand are inspired of God. It's every Scripture. Then we have that word profitable. Now, when we hear that word profitable in our, maybe our secular lives or our personal lives, on an economic standpoint, our ears perk up. We want our investments to make money. We want to progress in our jobs and perhaps get raises there. So how much more should we think about spiritually? It tells us probably for four things here. And I think two of the things we kind of like, we like to hear about doctrine a lot. We like to hear about instruction a lot. But we don't like to hear sometimes about reproving or correction. We don't like to be reproved or corrected, I don't think. But it says the Word of God does that. We read the Word of God and study it, we'll see many times that we're not living the way that God would have us to live. Then he says the man of God, which means man is a generic term there. It doesn't just mean the male sex. It means all mankind. But God wants all of us to be complete. Some versions say perfect, mature in the Lord, and equipped. He wants us to be out there equipped to go out in that battle, ready to fight. We must be a people who not only read the Word of God, but a people who meditate upon it, study it, and tell others about it. Back in the Old Testament, after Moses had died, Joshua was taken over as the commander and leader of the people of Israel. When he got commissioned by God in Joshua 1 to be that leader, he was told to read the Word of God, with the law of Moses then, read the Word of God, meditate on it, and share it with everybody else. The men back in those days were told to tell their children about what God's Word said, how God had brought them out of Egypt, how He had been with them all the time. So we should be the same way. So by knowing what God's Word says, and growing the grace and knowledge of Jesus, we can be believers who can serve in God's army. In verse 14 of that passage, Ephesians 6, it says, the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate guarded maybe this part of the Roman soldier's body. Spiritually speaking, it guards the heart, the source of life. It protects the spiritual life of a believer in a way that we can be near to Him. I think Paul told the Philippians, be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God. Now, we can never be righteous on our own. We can't say, well, look what a great job I did. Look how I came from nothing to something. But if we understand that we can be righteous in the Lord because of what He did for us, He did, is doing, and will do for us, we can that way grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. Talked about in verse 15 about having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The Roman soldier had a heavy armored sandal, I'm told. It gave him traction to walk all across the empire. Now, Rome had the best road system of any country up to that time. There were many paved roads all over the empire. Those paved roads also served so that people like Paul and Peter and John and all those men there could go all over the empire and share the Word of God. But the Roman soldier had to go into probably places where the road maybe ended, or it didn't go any farther, or it was not paved very well, so he needed to have traction on his feet during the heat of battle. So the same way to us, our peace with God is through Jesus Christ, can give us security in the face of Satan's accusations. And in verse 16, the shield of faith. It was a leather-covered shield, we understand. It was soaked in water to extinguish the flaming arrows of the enemy. It was a big shield. I've seen pictures where they say what it might have been. You see, maybe there's about maybe 100 soldiers out here in the front line. They all got shields that go from here down to the feet. They're standing there so people can't get through them. So, same way with us here. Satan's promised that he's going to be out there firing these maybe spiritual darts at us, trying to get us to fall away or not follow him closely. He's telling these lies. So faith in God's promises, this shield of faith that we have spiritually, will be one that helps us to deflect and extinguish these spiritual arrows that he's sending at us. 1 John 5:4 says, "And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteousness which can come from God by faith." So it doesn't come automatically. We would like to have the thing where we become a Christian, we're baptized into Christ, receive our sins forgiven, receive the Holy Spirit indwelled, and go home, put that Bible under your pillow, next morning you wake up and know everything. Now, I'm being facetious, but we'd like to be that way, but it doesn't work that way. We have to want to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. But if we're willing to believe by faith that we can grow, he will help us. We have mentioned in verse 17 in this passage the helmet of salvation. This armored helmet that the soldier wore was going to protect his head or his brain. Because if he got a wound there, most likely he wasn't going to make it. So the primary battlefield in spiritual warfare is the Christian's mind. Satan tries to put doubts in our mind that God is really who he said he was. He put doubts in the mind of Eve there in Eden. He put doubt there in the wilderness when he tempted Jesus. Said, you know, if you're a son of God, do these things here. Because if you do them, God will keep his word. We know God keeps his word, but he said, don't tempt the Lord your God. So we need to have this helmet of salvation that will help us keep our mind straight, our mind pure. The next weapon there in verse 17 is the only weapon there of offense. The rest are defensive weapons. He says there in verse 17, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Bible as a whole is an armory from which we can select swords for specific battles. That's illustrated, as I mentioned there, in what was called the battle in the wilderness there in Matthew chapter 4. The Word of God. It's not words that we make up. We can write good Christian literature, perhaps. We have Sunday school lessons we read out of. I write articles for my blog online and do things like that there. And hopefully they're helping people grow in Jesus, but they're not inspired. But this is inspired here, and we have teachings here that we can live by. Christianity is a life of action. We become Christians. We seek to stay that way by drawing near to him each day, taking up every resource he has, whether it's the Word of God, whether it's prayer, singing together, having fellowship together with each other, things like that there. This battle that we're in, spiritually speaking, has already been won. Because Jesus came down nearly 2,000 years ago, died on that cross, came down, it says, in the fullness of time, God sent his Son. Now, we don't know why he sent his Son at that specific time. Why it wasn't 100 years earlier? Why wasn't 500 years later? But it says in God's time, I think God's timetable is not our own timetable, but he says Jesus came to become to bear the sins of mankind on his shoulders. He went to the cross for us. But we know that he didn't stay on that, he didn't stay in that tomb. He was risen from the dead. He conquered death and he was resurrected. The story I read here says, thankfully, our spiritual armor is said to be used in a war that's already been won. It is said of Napoleon Bonaparte that as he attempted to conquer the kingdoms of the world at that time, he spread out a map on a table, pointed to a specific place, and said to his lieutenants, "Sirs, if it wasn't for that red spot, I could conquer the world." End quote. The spot which he pointed out was the British Isles, England, the very nation that met Napoleon at Waterloo, Belgium, and destroyed him and defeated him. So we know there's no doubt, I have no doubt that Satan today, if he was talking with his followers, demons, about conquering the world, he might have something to say about that red hilltop outside Jerusalem, called Calvary, where the blood of Christ was spilled. But the red spot is what makes all the difference in our spiritual battle. We do not need to live in fear of the devil. We need only to enter the spiritual battle which we've been called, aware of its reality and subtlety, and be armed with the truth that the ultimate victory against Satan has already been achieved. We know that we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not active. We need to be the best soldiers he has. We can never do enough deeds in our life to work our way to heaven. And nowhere in the Word of God does it say we can do that. But it does say in the Word of God that we are created unto good works, there in Ephesians chapter 2, that we are now to be the best workers our Lord has. And all of us can have a place to work in His kingdom. There are many things we can do. People think about preaching the gospel, teaching, being a missionary, things like that there. They're very important. But he said one place in there, I think, that we're to be blessed if we give a cup of cold water in His name. Now, I think if we made a big list here on the wall of things you can do, that wouldn't be there. I saw somebody brought Brother Lowell a cup of water earlier. But the Lord said that is a thing where you can be involved. Many of us can be involved in many things. We know people who can be encouragers like Barnabas. People can be people who go to people who lost loved ones, can go to a funeral home and just maybe sit there and listen. Things like that. So we all have a place to be used in God's kingdom. One song we sang in our hymnal, Onward Christian Soldiers, that's in this book here it's 180, but the writer was a man named Sabine Beringgul. I think he was an Anglican clergyman. And he wrote these words here. Onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go. I'm told the background of that song was that he had a group of kids in his neighbor, in his parish there in England, who I guess were not well thought of. They were kids that were from the wrong side of the tracks, we might say. And it was a small, maybe rural congregation he preached at. And he wanted to take these kids to a bigger parish for more activities, but the parish priest of that other parish didn't want anything to do with these, like as you call them, low-life kids. So the story is that he made this big old tall thing with the cross on it, and he was out there walking. The kids were falling behind him to go hear about Jesus. So we need to be a people like that. Verses 18 to 20, and I'll close on that here, this passage here says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me that utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." So Paul said we need to be active in the Lord's service no matter where we're at. No matter where we've been Christians for maybe a few days, few months, or for decades. Whether our congregation has just been started in the last few years, or like this congregation here dates back to the 1800s here, in this area here. Faithfulness to the Lord's service. I read that a little note about this congregation 86 years ago, having a prayer meeting to send out Robert Garrett's parents, S.D. and Dolly Garrett, to Africa with their two young children. Robert was not born yet. He was born in Africa. So we see the faithfulness here of this congregation 86 years back, and I know it was faithful long before that, because I read a lot about the Word in the Old Word and Works about news notes about Eastview. But point is that we can be faithful whether we're small in number or big in number. We can be faithful because we can take the whole armor of God. We can believe the whole Word of God. I was reading recently, again, it was the May of 1956 issue of the Word and Work. That was the issue after the death of R.H. Bull on April 14th of 1956, 60 years ago in about a month and a half. He had died. The whole issue was about different preachers of our number. Most are dead now. Some are still alive. Telling about how he had influenced their lives as Christians. And one was written by Kenneth East. He's still living down in Louisiana, about 90 years old in Louisiana, Kenneth East. He wrote that Brother Bull, he remembered that, he told him, "Remember, no truth in Scripture is truly yours till you find it for yourself in the Word of God." I think later, other place, he said that, "I can tell you what the Word of God says, but you have to experience it for yourself." So we want our life today, from this point on, to experience the Word of God for ourselves, and then take what it says and apply it to our daily walk. These Roman soldiers were given the greatest training the world has ever known, perhaps even today, and they were given everything they needed: helmets, shields, breastplates, belts, all kind of things, shoes, sandals to wear, so that the enemy out there, when they shot the arrow, it wouldn't kill them. So we as Christians today have been given everything we need that pertains to godliness, it says in the Word of God. So we're going to have a song here that Lowe's going to lead. That's at 298 in the Great Songs of Church. Talk about when Jesus comes. He talked a lot this morning in our songs about the Lord's coming. We don't know when it's going to happen. It could happen today. The main thing is to be ready at all times for His coming, living for it, and living in the Lord. So any need you have, let's stand. Please stand. 298, please.